please welcome, here to welcome someone else, Jimmy Church.
This is Jimmy Church, and I would like you all to welcome Stephen Mason of Jars of Clay singing our introduction song.
Well done.
Stephen Mason, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to Pod X.
Welcome.
Thank you to the person who waved back.
There they are. Okay.
There we go.
And I know what you're thinking. Real talent mismatch here. We're still with a cowbell attached.
Oh, yeah.
We have Stephen Mason here.
From Jars of Clay.
And the Handsomizer. We'll tell you more about that.
So we've both been Jars of Clay fans for many, many years.
Any other Jars of Clay fans out in the audience? Well, you are now after that introduction. Yes.
Your family did not raise their hands.
Okay. 3-time Grammy winners. And Carrie and I both were Christians for many years, and one of our favorite Christian bands, no question. So good at communicating the experiences of life without making it, you know, every song necessarily hitting you over the head with Jesus.
It's not kind to Jesus, honestly. I mean, he's just hitting people with Jesus.
He put up with
he's been
so
hit
much.
Enough.
You know, Stephen, I don't think I've told you this yet. So when I was in high school, I had a picture of you and your friends over my bed.
Like on the ceiling.
On my ceiling. Now, you might be thinking, this was so I could... but it wasn't.
You've connected.
It was so I could pray for all of you every night.
Well, it mostly worked, I'd say.
Yeah.
For a few years.
Yeah,
it
how's
really
it been
worked.
Working out? Are you
it's
guys...
It's funny, you connected some dots for me. My wife growing up apparently had a picture of Harry Connick Jr. above her bed.
See, were you praying for him?
Did he ever come on your podcast?
He didn't.
Oh see?
Harry Connick Jr. We had put this out in the show a few times because sometimes we'd have others in a captive audience with us and we would sing Jars of Clay songs to them because we know them all, like Love Song for a Savior and all kinds of wonderful, wonderful tunes. And one of our mutual friends pointed this out to you. That, hey, these podcasters love your band.
Yeah, we were connected on Twitter, and thank you, Olivia. And and the rest is, well, we'll see. You know, it's
history is being written.
Yeah, exactly.
But you started listening to the show, which of course,
yes,
I became a tizzy.
I just immediately loved and admired your curiosity and enthusiasms for your curiosity.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm enthusiastic about my own curiosity. Yeah.
And Jars of Clay has been one of those bands that we've continued to listen to and love any new music that comes from your group. It's fantastic. So we knew we were coming out to Nashville, and you live in Nashville. We thought, well, how fun would it be for us to do a local investigation with you? And it can't get much more local than coming to your house.
That's right.
Which we did.
So we got in touch and said, what do you think about maybe doing a house blessing at your home? What'd you think when you heard that?
Well, I immediately asked my better half, and my wife said, hell yeah, I believe is what she said.
That is the correct
These
answer.
These are very cool Christians, you guys.
We're not going to refuse a blessing. I mean, who would do that?
This was all Carrie's Googling skills that brought us this healer. But yes, we showed up before the healer did. And yeah, we saw this truck outside.
The listening audience, we are pointing at images, sorry.
Yeah, we're going to describe these images, but for everybody here, you get to enjoy. This van that looks like the Ghostbusters car
is parked out front, and it says Inspector Dave, and we're like, what if that's her?
Yeah, that's right. What if she is Inspector Dave? Yeah, it's equal parts da-da-da-da-da, Inspector Dave, and who are you going to call?
I would just love if that was her car and like her whole aesthetic was like, I'm a 20s detective.
Unfortunately, it was not, so we don't know anything else about Inspector Dave. But here I am in front of Stephen and Jude's house.
Yes.
That's me.
I was just admiring how he cleverly obscured his address well.
Yeah, that's right. Please
so
don't
I went
stalk
silent.
Stephen. Okay.
and this is one of our favorite things in your house.
We walk in, they're showing us around.
Getting equal prominence with a Darth Vader Pez dispenser is Stephen's Grammy.
Yeah.
And then he says,
oh, and that's the jar, yeah.
That's one of the original
of clay?
Jars.
Yeah, it's one of the original jars.
It's made of actual clay.
So everyone at home, Jude is pointing at the stage. Jude is your beautiful wife.
Yes, yes.
And telling us that the jar in the photo is one of the original
jars that were serviced to radio stations all across America.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With a CD in it.
Might have been a cassette.
Us.
It's been a while. It might have been a cassette.
Okay. So this sounds like it was a media mailer that Jars of Clay sent out.
You know the biz.
Okay. Go.
Okay. And this is the name originally comes from. Oh shoot.
He's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, you're gonna get it.
I want to shoot. It's like Thessalonians 4:7.
Thessalonians 4:7.
Second
7,
Timothy.
I think.
Second Titus.
It's like the second.
No, there's no second.
No,
test.
Actually,
start
not.
Start with a T.
Paul
wrote it. Paul wrote it.
Oh.
I think.
Second Timothy?
Yeah,
First Timothy. Corinthians.
Yes.
Second Corinthians 4:7?
Yes.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay. Yeah, and it references Jars of Clay.
Okay, yeah. Okay. What we were getting to there is the name Jars of Clay, the name of Stephen's band, Stay With Us.
Somewhere near the washer is this. Yeah. Just up, out of the way. Oh, there's a Grammy. And then there's another Grammy kind of covered with something. And they said, there's a third one somewhere around the house.
We can't find it.
we just love that.
It's actually true. It's,
Also, a wonderful thing in your home, this little drawing your son did that says, I admire my dad because he is a musician in the band Jars of Clay. A very early example of name dropping right here.
Well, I think he was ahead of his time because you think about social media aspects. He already knew that Jars of Clay was a brand.
In the brand Jars of Clay.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't really interpoint the R there. Brand. And there's a pretty good representation he's drawn of you and a guitar floating next to you, all above a helicopter. So
there's a shootout going on.
Wow.
A normally developing child. We'll come back to him. So our healer showed up.
Yes. So we're going to call her Amber. So I found Amber online using, as you said, Google. And she has a lovely website that definitely gave me the feeling that it was a one-person operation. This is just her. She comes to your house. It said it was only $99 to get a blessing. Maybe my standards have dropped, but I was like, that's cheap.
And she does so much. You can get a remote blessing for half the cost. Of course, we wanted her in person.
Yeah.
She also will pray for you. She's a Reiki master.
Mm-hmm.
She heals children. This was a little concerning. She will come and deal with sick children.
Yes. Help. I think the wording was help heal sick children.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you're helping doctors.
Right. Bringing the doctor's water. Now, I just want to mention, we did not pixelate the cover of
Rubber Soul
in this picture.
That
we
is a painting.
A pixelated picture.
There's
of
a cool
Soul.
Story behind it, but we'll try to stay on topic.
So Amber comes in. We introduce her to the family. We kind of get the
this house
what
is hopping. We've
is
got friends
be.
Coming over. We're over. Kids are running around.
And of course, among all this bustle and the sense of love, we're like, this house needs a blessing.
Yeah. Fix this. House.
There's so much wrong. So much wrong in this house. We need your help.
That was the essence, I think.
So what you and the audience saw there and others listening were not seeing is she is waving a little tightly bound bundle.
Bundle of sage.
Of sage, right. She brought that with her, right? It's kind of a
shell ashtray. Yeah.
She lights the sage.
Shell that has holes in it.
And
to
so
let in oxygen.
The sage just wasn't keeping on fire for her.
It wasn't, but okay. I have a theory about Amber. I think I've done more smudging than Amber. I think this may, I'm not just being a jerk here. I think this may have been her first house blessing.
Really?
Yeah.
Now her website had a copyright of 2015. So
2014.
14. So 14. She's been doing this for
actually,
5 years.
I believe it has a koi right of 2014, according
yes.
to the website.
Not a copyright. It's a koi right. but do you think that she's been sitting around waiting by the phone for 5 years and someone finally called in a house blessing?
Kind of. Maybe not sitting around the phone. But I got the feeling that, you know, she does something else most of her life. I know that she's a mom, maybe has, like, you know, some other job. And then this is the thing that's sort of a passion project that's on the side. And yeah, you know, she brought in this full thing of sage that had never been burned. And like a thing of sage, that's going to take you through a few years. Like sage burns slow, as she was apparently just learning. So she's lighting it and she's lighting it and she can't get it to stay. And I'm thinking like, you're not supposed to get it to stay. It smudges and smokes. It's like incense.
Yeah.
So, but she just keeps lighting it. She's like, I can't get it to stay lit.
She wants it to be like a torch you take into a cavern or something.
A nice cigar or something. Yeah.
Right.
But her excuse for having a brand new one was, well, I wanted to leave it for the family to have more opportunity to sage the house.
I don't buy it.
So she gave up on the sage. Okay, and I didn't know this before. So sage apparently removes bad energy.
Okay.
Whereas her next try was
Palo Santo.
Palo Santo.
Which brings in the good.
Yes, so that adds positive energy. So hey, it's all the same thing, right? And so she lit that and we immediately recognized the smell of rhythmia.
Yeah.
From our ayahuasca investigation. So if you haven't heard that one, that's where I did ayahuasca 4 nights and was convinced I was dying. And so immediately I had these mixed sensations of, oh my goodness, I'm being taken back to this place. But it's a cool smell.
Yeah, it's a really good smell.
I think I will buy some now.
Around this point, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope you guys like smells because your house is going to be full of stuff for a while.
And then we took her upstairs to our son's room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll get there later. But
Are you implying smells. Your son smells?
No, there's just lots of smells.
Okay.
We're already a house of smells.
I know
the Mason
smell
family
you
was
mean.
Very cool about all of these weird things being introduced to their house.
I didn't smell anything up there, for what it's worth.
All right.
So,
yeah, what
here we're going through.
Do we have?
What other implements do we have?
Yeah.
Oh, a candle, yes. So this is also important.
One of those tall votive candles or, you know, whatever it is, the like kind of Roman.
Yeah, the kind that you'd see candles. Like, yeah, the Virgin Mary on or something, but this one doesn't have a design. Yeah, so there's a few instruments apparently you need when you do a house blessing. So, of course, you need your sage. Of course, you need your pendulum. So she was walking through each room and using a little stone on the end of a string.
Yeah. And Stephen and I were nerding out about other things while you were talking to
her. Yes, you were, yes.
So tell us about portals.
So I was following her around and my friends had gotten duly distracted. So she was walking through and like feeling the pendulum and whether it would swing around. And I said, are you looking for something? Are you asking questions? And she said, I'm looking for something. Didn't elaborate. And then I was like, for what? And she said, portals. Now I've played Portal.
Yeah, Carrie's now an expert on the video game Portal.
But that's not the kind she was looking
for. She didn't
find
a copy of the Orange Box?
No, she did not. So she said, sometimes people will accidentally create energy portals in their homes. And if they do, you know, it's kind of, then it's a different process for her because say you've got an energy portal in your bedroom, but it goes to South Africa. Now you've got energy from South Africa coming in. That has to be dealt with in this totally other way.
That's so true.
It's yeah.
And was she looking through the crystal or?
No. I should have explained. So the crystal hangs on a string and it's a pendulum. So you just give it ever so slight motion and it goes either backwards, forwards, around, and people assign meaning to the way that it's moving. You have a look like you don't buy that.
You have an expression like when I first found out about Joseph Smith's seeing stones, because you hear about him having the Urim and the Thummim and he like looks through them and that's how he transcribed the Book of Mormon. And then finally the Mormon Church released an image of the seeing stone and it was completely opaque. I was like, wait, that's not what I had in mind. I had like him holding these up to his eyes and he looks through and he sees letters. No.
A shame. Yes, that's what she was looking for. And she said that in particular, you have to look for portals near children's rooms because children are just so in touch with their intuition and with their own personal energies that they can accidentally create portals. So she in particular was looking in your daughter's room to make sure, don't worry, no portals. Phew.
Oh, that's kind of a bummer. I wanted a portal.
So well, we will find out more about your daughter and her abilities later. Into the mic. I know that microphones are new to you. Yeah, you haven't spent your entire career in front of them. That
really
makes
not
sense.
Used to.
We should describe Amber a little bit. She was wearing a butterfly shirt, kind of a tank top.
Tank top.
That's
top?
The term. Mm-hmm. And jeans and flip flops. And a choker, and she had a photo on her website also wearing a different choker.
So okay, kind of a choker.
She likes a choker,
right,
bringing it back.
She had fantastic eye makeup.
Yes,
well.
That's true, which yeah. We've obscured in these photos. Mm-hmm. And short brown hair.
And a few tattoos down her arm.
I asked Carrie about this later. So every now and then as we'd be walking from room to room, and she really did traipse through the house on multiple passes. But every now and then I'd kind of see her, and she'd sort of turn to me and wide-eyed, just sort of, you know, right? And I thought, no, I don't know. What are we, what is this look that we're exchanging? So maybe it was you, Carrie. Maybe she's like this lady asking all her questions.
Oh, maybe. No one else was following her around and seeing what was happening. So I was asking her all the questions.
Carrie was on point.
Yeah.
I was very easily distracted. So our next step was down to the basement.
I approved these photos.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ran this by Stephen. I said, okay, we're showing these portions of your house. I think we've tried to make this look as creepy as possible, but you know, basements are by definition
basements,
creepy.
Yeah, are so easy to creep someone out. When we got down there, I was sort of waiting for her to be like, "Oh, something bad happened down here."
That was her opportunity.
Yeah, but to her credit, she was just like, "No, this place is normal."
So here we are in the basement. Stephen's carrying around the candle. That was sort of your main job, yeah. To be the candle holder.
Candle holder.
Candleman.
And. Yeah, I never came up with a good Five Candles joke.
Oh. Yeah, on my Jars of Clay references. There's a Jars of Clay song called Five Candles.
From Much Afraid,
open
one of my favorite albums.
You were there when I needed you. Close parentheses.
You were there when the sky... Oh, stop.
That's titling songs by committee. That's what a record label does.
Oh, really? That's, yeah. Oh, that's how you get the in parentheses.
Little insight.
The subtitles. Like,
yeah, you got to change the
Five
title
Candles, parentheses, you were there, end parentheses. Okay.
Oh, it's not you were there when I needed you? I made it too long? Okay. We'll
they
stop
probably,
doing
you
this.
You should work at a record label.
Okay, what's your favorite? What's your favorite album, Carrie?
Much Afraid.
Okay, same here.
Okay. All right. So back to the house.
What's your favorite, Stephen?
Inland, I think, the most recent one.
Yes. Oh,
nice.
Great album. Okay,
the house. So we're walking through. We've got the candle. So first it's just her and me, and then you guys joined us for sort of round two. So it seemed like round one was more diagnostic.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna see what's up. What does this place need? And that was just...
Check the spark plugs.
Right. So that was just her and me. And then y'all showed up.
And Jude was given a bottle of rose oil. That's another important... smelly part of all of this. She said something about rose oil being on a higher frequency.
Yeah. Okay. So she said that oils in general all have their own frequencies, just like people. And she said, you know how all people have a different frequency. And she said that like, well, we all know this.
Sure. It's all true.
That's Witches in Nature's Colors.
What?
Best in Show.
Oh.
Do you remember?
No.
I haven't seen Best in Show.
Well, we all know that we reverberate on the 34th parallel.
Oh, okay.
Kind of goes without saying. Anyone remember that? Yeah, it's so brilliant. And the other guy looks like, he's just like, I guess. No, you go watch it.
Okay,
Yes,
no,
we will.
Goes without saying.
Speaking of her factual claims, early on when we were talking about Sage, she was saying, oh, well, science tells us that it kills bacteria, so this is scientific that I'm cleaning out the house.
With the smoke of the thing not being applied to anyone's skin.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you Google this, yes, you will get results that say that Sage kills 94% of bacteria. But as people point out, if that were true and you breathed it, then it would... Kill you.
Because we need a lot of bacteria
so
to live.
So that's not true, but there are some studies...
So that's not true.
But there are studies that show various antibacterial properties of sage oil extracts.
A lot of oils are antibacterial.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of like a go-to, like you don't have any other way to treat a cut.
Bacteria is not thrilled about being covered in oil.
Yeah, and you know what? Me neither.
So yeah, that gets the Snopes mostly true.
Yeah.
Rating. Okay,
but hang on. There's something about rose water, rose oil. Oh, yes. So, yeah, everyone has a different frequency. And with the rose oil in particular, she said, unlike other oils, they're good for everybody to raise their vibrations and work in harmony. I think the implication being like, you might particularly need rosemary and I might particularly need almond oil, but we all need rose oil.
Oh, I see. So light, for example, has different wavelengths. There's the blue range of the spectrum and red, but if you put them all together, it's white.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So rose oil is the white light of oils.
Okay.
So now we all go upstairs. Granted, we've been going upstairs, downstairs, basement.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, this is a decent workout.
Yeah.
Getting
so here's Stephen
blessed.
Carrying the light up. Okay, and so now Amber finds the oldest son's room.
Yes.
Finds. Oh, my God. She's right. Discovered it. She opens
Judas
the door.
Hiding her face.
She opens the door, and I was like, oh, my God. It's like a teenager's room in a movie. He's trying out for the part of teenager.
You couldn't do this better. And for those of you who can't see it, there is a drum kit prominently in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And then we've got, goodness, we've got Abbey Road image background.
Got a Led Zeppelin tapestry.
Okay Computer, the album cover. Something with a lot of ohm symbols on it hanging from the roof.
The pyramids from the Pink Floyd album.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so good music
and,
choices.
And, of course, a duffel bag full of clothes strewn about. That's the most important teenage
now,
element.
It is important to clear your son's name. He can't
clean
this room.
And we got a text after the fact letting us know.
We made him clean it. It looks nice. And, yes, very well done. It can be cleaned. He had a bundle of sage already.
Yeah. We didn't even need to outsource this.
All you needed to do, Stephen, was hand him $100.
Yeah. Clean your room and bless the house, and just like we asked, please.
And we'll give you the $100.
Yes, and we'll give you the $100.
And he's also got the candles and a big cross. Yeah, he's all set to go.
Yeah.
So here's a problem she noticed.
Yes, tell us about your son's big problem that we're looking at a photo of.
Well, apparently... So that's a dream catcher.
Yes.
Hanging on his window.
And your daughter had one in her room, but that one was sanctioned. That was okay.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have
a
bead.
Bead in the middle.
Yeah, a bead in the center.
A bead in the center.
Apparently, this is very bad, very bad, because the bead catches your good dreams.
I never knew that before.
Doesn't let them through.
Which
this is important information, everybody.
We were in
Check your dream catchers.
We were in Cherokee, North Carolina, at the amazing museum of Cherokee Nation there. And there were loads of dream catchers for sale.
Okay,
And there were a lot with beads in the middle. And I feel horrible that we left all of those there.
I'm sure those people...
We should have brought them to the front and said, listen,
don't know your own culture, but I, a random white man...
Wait a minute.
I can tell you what's
Wait
up.
Wait a minute.
I see nothing wrong with that. So, anyways, we learned that this is not a sanctioned dream catcher because it's stopping dreams.
At least sanctioned by Amber, who, by the way, another white woman. All right, so...
This was nice.
Yeah, this was great. So this was sort of the first step of what I call the formal blessing. Mm.
Yes.
So we were all going to pass this candle around and all say our own piece about the kind of what we wanted for this house.
Yeah, and she had a printout that she was reading off of, and she read it very, I don't know, perfunctorily.
Yeah, yeah.
Please bring lots of happiness and wealth and wisdom and happiness to this house.
Okay. Sort of.
Work on the delivery a little bit.
Yeah.
I know it's your first house blessing.
But
we'll put that in the Yelp review. Like, could have been more intentional.
Intentional, exactly.
Oh, yes. Good word. That's what she was telling us to be when we were goofing off and talking in the background.
I didn't get told to be intentional.
But you got the eye roll.
Yeah, I guess it's one or the other. So she did read that blessing first, which was verbose. And I later...
We looked up key phrases to see if we could find this online.
Yeah.
It's like a high school English teacher.
Oh, yeah. I was checking for plagiarism, for sure. So we kind of cobbled together where she got this from. There are a few different websites that have, like, what you might call the poetry of this blessing. And it seems like she kind of cribbed from a few here, a few there, but some good curation.
Yeah. I've done similar things when putting together wedding officiation scripts, so can't fault her for that.
Nope.
But after she had read her piece, she passed around the candle and had each of us say our own blessings over the house.
Yeah. So I said I wanted all the humans and animals who come here to be safe and happy. And you said the lovely thing about art. May this house be full of art.
Oh, yeah. The joy of education and the love of art, I think I emphasized.
This definitely starts to have that effect where, like, by person three or four, you're like, oh, I should have said, I should have added
that.
Oh,
that's a good point.
Oh, that's a good one. And the last person gets to be like, you know, when you think about life.
Jude's parents were there and are here with us today. Yeah. They also said a blessing over the house. Yeah. So, yeah, that was very nice.
Yeah.
Then we went out to the backyard.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure.
Picked up some brush.
I felt like she was kind of nagging you here. She's like, how about we just call it a garden? Like,
we're like,
it's a garden. She's like, okay, well.
Well, I think because she was looking for the proper part of her script to read from.
I know. Okay. But it's a garden.
It's true.
It's like she was like, I don't know, it's a lawn, but I don't have one for lawn. I only have garden. Anyway, but she read that, and and this whole time, of course, Jude is spraying the rose oil.
Yes.
Spritz.
Very dutifully, yes.
Yeah.
And I believe you were at one point working out.
Okay, there were barbells on the back porch.
On the barbecue.
So, you know, you lift the barbells. I'm useful. I'm being helpful.
You needed these lifted, right?
So now everyone here knows exactly what Steven's house looks like.
Oh, yeah.
We'll post all
there's the pooper scooper right there next to the...
Okay.
The black thing.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because
the
pooper scooper, is not for you. It's for Hermione, your sweet doggy.
That's true.
We'll see Hermione in just a bit. Wait, before the next section, do you think we should make an ad break here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, wait. Usually we do an ad break.
Yeah, we tell people about exciting sheets or mattresses or
shoes. But we don't have any ads to deliver. Maybe a musical break?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Do we know anyone
who can
make beautiful music?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to? All right.
We're going to take a musical interlude with Steven Mason.
So this is not a Jars of Clay song. Give me your hand, I'd like to shake it. I want to show you I'm your friend. You'll understand. If I can make it clear, it's all that matters in the end. Put it there, every way's a ton. That's what a father said to his young son. I don't care, every way's a ton. As long as you and I are here, put it there. I'd like to fix it. I hate to see things go so wrong. The darkest night and all its mixed emotions, it's getting lighter, sing along. Put it there, if it weighs a ton. That's what a father said to his young son. I don't care if it weighs a ton. As long as you and I are here, put it there. As long as you and I are here, put it there.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Whose song is that?
That is a Paul McCartney song.
I think. You still have a bell on your ass.
I still have a bell on my ass. That is a Paul McCartney song that I think just doesn't get enough attention.
Oh, yeah.
Paul McCartney does not get enough attention.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
Whatever happened to him?
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks. It's been a joy. For those of you that listen to the podcast, it has been an utter joy. They are the people on the podcast. Like, they're authentic, lovely human beings, and they've treated me with such kindness.
Oh.
So, yeah, and I thought that was a good... We bear one another's burdens, you know, in the world. And I thought that was a good song to kind of... That's what the curiosity and the wonder of the world, I think, can played out amongst community. That's what it looks like for me. So, oh,
thank you.
Does that make sense? I don't know. I'm just riffing now. Let's go to the Pwn Collector.
This is amazing.
Yeah, about Oracle cards.
Yeah, anyway, let's go back to the Oracles.
So we return back into the house, and at this point, I think she feels, well, I'm kind of done. We didn't mention from the outset, she wanted to schedule all of this to take 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and at some point, I had to, like, call and intervene. Like, I mean, she kind of had you on the hook saying, like, oh, I don't know how long it's going to be, and can you do it at this time, and maybe not this time. So finally, I thought, maybe if someone calls and says, like, hey, I'm coming from out of town for this, like, can you please nail it down? And that seemed to work.
Yeah.
And then at the last minute, she tried to cancel. Or yeah. Can we push it back a week? No, we've got a show. So, goodness. All right. So, yeah, we were maybe an hour and 15 minutes into this, and she was kind of out of things to do. And so she looked in her bag of magical accoutrement.
It's just like you wanted to say magic tricks, and you're like, I don't want to call them tricks.
Yeah, exactly.
So she had a deck of tarot cards, or as I like to call them, tarot cards.
Tarot.
I don't know where I got in that habit, but I'm sticking by it. But they weren't tarot cards. They were oracle cards.
Yes.
Yes.
And then she would fan them out for us face down, pick a card, any card. And again, do it intentionally. Let your feelings guide you. Don't just grab a card.
Yeah. Feel your intuition. So you picked.
I didn't. She added the intuition afterwards. I literally was like.
Pick a card. Any card.
Because we had just been.
You put it back in and said, what was my card?
We had just been to the House of Cards.
House of Cards.
Which was, it's like the Magic Castle.
Oh,
and
right.
So
okay.
There's guys like.
Not the Netflix show.
Whoop. And then you got, oh, yeah, not the, yeah, no, not
so
the.
So a magic club.
A magic club.
Got it.
Thank you. And so that, and then you just grab it.
Where they do have tricks.
Yeah, and you're like, grab one, and you just don't think about it.
For the listening audience at home, Stephen is wildly, mimicking a magician. So, but you did feel like this card really spoke to you, it seemed.
Well, it did. Because
the Bone Collector.
The Bone Collector. So, yeah.
Initially, which I wish had gone to your dog.
Well, initially. It should have, because she does. She collects the bones in a certain area of our garden.
Oh, see?
You know, I'm counting this as a miss. This is a fail.
Okay, what did the Bone Collector mean?
There's a book that comes with these oracle cards. And so then after you've picked a card, then in this case, Jude reads from the book and tells us what it means for you. And it turns out it's important which way you grabbed it, whether it's right side up or upside down.
Yeah, there's all this meaning she's putting into it, and you just grab a card and had no idea. So, okay, the Bone Collector. Do you remember what its meaning was?
It was essentially... Basically, don't let your... Who is the Bone Collector? The Bone Collector, like... Yeah, the Bone Collector
We're
is there to kind of step in.
Jude remembers this closely.
Yeah.
So you dear, have issues dear, letting go of the past.
Dear, what
this
did the woman
Stephen's
say?
Stephen's life.
It was, I remember.
Yes.
It was basically when you go through some sort of trauma as a kid, and we all do, that then you kind of recreate those throughout your life. And so find the thing that is reminding you of your past, because that's where your real challenge is. That's where you need to do the work.
Yes, yes. And it was
remember it this time, Stephen.
Yeah, I gotta
so, but
write
that
down.
Felt really close to home.
Yeah.
For you.
Oh, yeah. 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 Because if we don't reckon with our wounds, we are. Yeah, bound to continue to experience them.
Yeah. So,
That's good advice. Yeah, we all got good advice. I picked the Moonlight card.
Oh, that was very provocative, and it was the image. I don't see sultry fairy when I think about Ross's. I we don't know each other that well, but that felt like.
This is spot on.
I mean.
Because there's a round earth behind her.
Oh, yes.
And
Ross is a globe head.
Right.
Call me crazy. I believe in the round earth. What can I say? Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that she has six wings, this fairy. Mm-hmm. That reminded me of some of the biblical description of angels, like in Ezekiel, that they have six wings.
Okay. Wouldn't have even noticed. Okay. So what did Moonlight mean?
I don't remember. I was too busy looking at the card. But I... Jude, do you remember? She remembers the Bone Collector. But as she was reading it to me, I remember thinking, oh, that's nice. Those are nice sentiments.
Oh, I remember. I
was going to say, Carrie, I wonder if you remember.
Wasn't it
Wait, I'm going to do the expression.
I That's what she did. That's what she did.
It was that you need to follow your intuition more and not use your head and your logic so much.
Oh, that's exactly right. And I repeated that, yes. Mm-hmm. And I said that speaks to me because I do find myself to be very logical. That's how I parse the world. And it was telling me to trust my intuition. Very good. Thank you,
anyway,
Carrie.
What was mine?
Or listen to Carrie. what's yours?
So, mine was a fork in the road. And it was like, you need to... you have an important decision to make and you need to pick and then you need to commit to your commitment. Follow through. Don't, you know, you tend to sort of equivocate and go back and wonder if you did the right thing, etc. Not this time, Carrie. No. And to be very vague about my personal life, that feels right.
Yeah. Yeah, a quick straw poll here. Did any of those sound definitely wrong to any of you, like bad advice? Okay, no one raised their hand.
Literally no one.
Because, these would apply to anybody. They're all surefire hits, four statements, if you will. So we put down our cards all together. And so what you're seeing here is in the middle of the hallway, she wanted the geographic center of the house, or at least the pathway center of the house.
Where you're supposed to sweep from.
Yes!
That was something else.
Sweeping.
Yeah, the sweeping of the
We had a very important conversation about sweeping.
Sort of. I think she was just making an analogy. She said, we need to sweep the energy out of the house, like starting from the outside. And so you go through the perimeter, you pull all the dust in the center, and then you push it out the front, right?
You know, right? And Jude's like, no, I've been sweeping all wrong. I sweep from the outside, and I bring it into this central hallway area, and then I pick it up in the dustpan. Should I not be doing that?
Yeah, Jude and Steven just take this as a literal house cleaning tip and are like, this is amazing.
This is incredible. Okay. She's giving
sweep
us so much goodness.
Door. the energy, you guys. But also the dust, if you want. But I didn't really notice her doing a lot of sweeping. With the energy.
That's true. Just kind of wafting the smoke, maybe.
Yeah, definite wafting.
Intentional wafting.
Goodness.
Wafting. Waft your voice into the
microphone. Stephen has been carrying around this candle, so she wants him to leave it at that center point of the house, right outside of his daughter's bedroom, next to the bathroom, and the living room, and the kitchen.
We're about to leave for lunch. And
she wants to leave this candle lit, and she says, just let it run until it's burned the entire candle, which could
Would
take
this
over a day.
Make anybody else out of their skull? Yeah.
Okay, now we're getting...
Oh, my God. Nods. I'm like, no, your friend has OCD. We have to do something.
So this is what we've built. We've put it on top of a piano stool or something, and then we've put... a bit of a cookie sheet or some sort of range cover.
The range cover, it makes a great,
just in case it falls over that it won't burn the house down. Now,
you all seemed very cool about it, though. You all seemed like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I was worried, but at least we'd given some prophylactic.
Yeah.
But we thought this would be great if Stephen just buried the lead and he revealed on stage that his house did burn down.
Yeah, we left.
How did it go with the
candle?
Yeah, we're actually staying here at the Omni, just on the street.
We're homeless. Can anybody take them in after this show?
Did the candle burn all the way down?
I texted you all at 5:21, and it looked...
the same?
It essentially looked
the same.
More or
less the same.
Those things take
so
a long
did it
time
ever burn out?
Is it still going?
No, it did not.
You put it out.
Yeah, we put
like
it out.
Like sensible people.
Yeah, like sensible.
Now you're going to be cursed by 1,000 generations of dark demons.
You did the only thing you could do to screw it up.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
We'll see where this leads.
Hey, Carrie.
Yes, Ross, is it?
I'm loving this live show.
Oh, this is so fun. We're sitting next to one of our idols.
Yeah, Stephen Mason. Uh-huh. How cool is that?
So cool.
So why are we interrupting this then?
I have no good excuse.
All right, well, back to the show. Oh, wait a second. I wanted to tell you about Rothy's shoes.
Oh, okay. That is a good reason to interrupt because they make this stuff happen.
That's right. They supported, in part, this investigation.
Yes, and you know Rothy's. If you've been listening to us, you know we're big fans of these shoes. They're stylish. They're sustainable. They're comfortable enough for everyday wear or formal wear. You can wear them anywhere you want.
And are you aware, Carrie, that these stylish, comfortable shoes that they make are fashioned out of recycled water bottles, plastic water bottles?
I am aware, but I think of it every time I wear them.
You wear and you are aware.
Exactly. It's like the reincarnation of a water bottle. What if I drank from one of those water bottles?
Hmm.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness. I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was somebody else's water bottle. This is deep.
When I was in elementary school, someone said that they hated the thought of recycling because it made them think that a dog had peed on everything they used.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, they've got issues they need to work out. Well, no one's peed on these. And if they did, they're machine washable.
Hey, there you go. Little dog pee never hurt anybody.
Win-win. So these are everyday flats for life on the go.
They're designed to be super comfortable. And did you know they've diverted over 25 million water bottles from landfills?
That's amazing.
That's a lot of water bottles.
Yeah, thank goodness. We don't need those in the landfills.
We need them on our feet.
And again, every time they need a refresh, you can simply toss them in the washing machine.
And they're manufactured in a zero-waste facility, and they ship directly in the shoebox. Thank God. It's not this box within a box within a box within a box.
Oh, yes.
You just get your damn shoes in the box. It's great.
I love this environmental consciousness.
Me too.
And it's a comfortable shoe. My wife can attest.
Yeah, and they're cute. I really like the designs, and they're just the right amount of give, too. If you're like me, and usually you get new shoes and they cut up your heels, this won't happen.
No Band-Aids on your heels.
Exactly.
All right, win, win, win. So check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/ohno.
Go to rothys.com, rothys.com/ohno, to get your new favorite flats.
Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for.
Head to rothys.com/ohno today. And while you're walking around in your Rothy's flats, you're probably thinking, God, I hope no one's hacking into my email.
I am. How'd you know?
I can sense it. I'm a clairvoyant. Well, I'm clairvoyant.
That's right. You have a friend named Claire.
Mm-hmm. She's clairvoyant. I'm clairvoyant.
Fair enough. You're Rossvoyant. I'm Rossvoyant. Yeah, I see how this works. Well, it's a good thing you mentioned that because Oh No, Ross and Carrie is supported in part by Dashlane.
Oh, perfect.
And you've heard about Dashlane. They're the only tool that you need to stay safe online.
Yes, that's right. They've got you covered if you're worried about losing access to your accounts or having weak or reused passwords or somebody monitoring your internet history.
All those things are bad. You do not want weak and reused passwords. Mm-mm. You don't want people monitoring your history.
Mm-mm.
Or maybe you're worried about getting your data hacked.
Exactly.
Dashlane keeps you safe online from every direction.
And it's a great life hack because you don't need 3 or 4 different tools. Dashlane does what they do all in one package and, get this, it's cheaper.
Yeah, if you put all that together, you know, that's quite a few products.
Yeah.
All in one. All you have to do is download it, and you won't have to worry about online security issues ever again.
Yes, ever again.
Ever again.
Ever again. You heard it here. Are you worried about that recent tech company hack? Well, Dashlane will tell you if your data's compromised. Maybe you're worried about having access to all your passwords on any device. They've got you covered.
Dashlane has a basic free version that you can get, but Dashlane Premium has all the above features. So that's premium.
Yeah.
It's the full featured one.
Exactly.
And it's cheaper than most VPNs or standalone security services. So get peace of mind knowing that Dashlane is actively protecting you from every angle.
So go to dashlane.com/onrack to get a free 30-day trial of Dashlane Premium to try those features in action.
And if you like it, you can use your coupon code ONRACK, ONRAC, at checkout for a 10% off discount.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Go forth and be safe on the internet.
Forever.
Forever. You'll
never have another problem.
Set it and forget it.
If you have any other problems on the internet, you can tweet at me and complain. But also,
that's Carrie Poppy, yes.
Exactly. But I have one more problem to fix for you. We fixed your shoe situation. We fixed your online situation.
Phew.
Now, perhaps you're a person who shaves.
I am.
Okay. Well, this particular product is aimed at women, but I suppose you could use it too if you'd like to.
Well, are you a woman who shaves?
I am a woman who shaves.
Oh, this is very relevant for you.
Exactly. And I'm sure for some others of our listeners, this is Flamingo, and it is a wonderful razor brand. They send you razors in the mail. Well, you got to order them. Mm-hmm. They don't just send them to you. You got to order them.
Yeah. Like you get your starter kit. We're going to tell you how to get a discount on that. And then, yeah, if you love it, which I'm sure you will, you buy more razors and they come and you use them.
These are legit my favorite razors now. I just bought a new box of replacement heads.
Yeah.
And boy, you know, it's swim season, man. It is summer. Maybe it's time you want your legs to look nice and smooth. Now, listen, if you like your leg hair, keep it. That's no skin off my nose. But if you like to shave, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, we fully support anyone who decides to keep their hair. That's your deal. That's you.
That's you. You do you. But if you're me, go get some flamingos. And, you know, whether you live in a small town or a big city, everyone wants a mini vacation, you know? And for some of us, this is so true. The worst case scenario is forgetting your razor when you travel. Oh, well, that or your toothbrush.
Oh boy.
I've bought so many toothbrushes on the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess at least it's probably cheaper and easier to get a toothbrush on the road.
True.
But,
that's true.
Yeah, boy, that sounds horrific.
It's my life is just full of problems.
As far as first world problems go, that's a doozy.
So the Flamingo Bear Bundle should be part of your getting ready routine for the summer. It includes a razor for wherever you shave, wax for wherever you wax, and lotion that keeps you smooth all over. The Flamingo Bear Bundle is as quick, easy, and versatile as your needs are. Yes, you, the listener.
Not only do you get that closeness and comfort of the shave, but also ease of use with wax strips and the value that really seals the deal.
There's an excellent razor and an extra cartridge that do the legwork, and 20 soft gel wax strips clean up chin hairs or mustaches without the mess.
Plus, shave gel, lotion, post-wax calming serum. I mean, what more could you want?
How can we convince you to buy these? They are so good. So try the Flamingo Bear Bundle this summer. All your hair removal needs from the comfort of your bathroom.
Refinery29 said these strips are the only at-home wax strips they've not hated.
Wow. Okay. And it's a $32 value for just $24 with free shipping today. That's 25% off.
Visit shopflamingo.com/ohno.
That's shopflamingo.com/ohno.
And back to the show.
Well, Carrie wanted to make sure that this was very equal for the whole family.
Yes.
That everybody gets their card to read. And so Hermione,
the dog,
the household pup, got her own card.
She got strength. Oh, that's right. Yes. And it was all about your inner strength. Now you have this unique voice that you need to share with the world.
And we're so like, stop with the voice. Stop with the voice. Well, stop with it.
Stop sharing it with the world.
Yeah.
She nodded along, though. It made sense to her.
She folded her arms at one point. It was like, I'm not buying this bit.
In a very dignified fashion. Yeah.
She's a very pretty dog.
Yeah.
And also Jude's parents had cards as well. So now you see all of our assembled cards there.
Strength.
Yeah, what were the parents' cards? I'm trying to read them there.
Any important takeaways you remember from your cards?
They're both saying no in British accents. No.
It's slightly more dignified.
A very dignified no.
And then this is Cosmic Connections, your local New Age store, everybody.
Who's been to Cosmic Connections here in Tennessee?
Yes, we got two.
You look guilty. Oh, yes.
What does this mean? You're getting the so-so
sort of
hand. Think you have
you don't need
sure.
to be embarrassed. Right. We were
you
there
sat on,
too.
You sat on the porch.
We're cool. So Amber had mentioned this as a place that she really likes. And then you, Stephen, said, oh, yeah, that's a fun spot.
That's where my son goes all the time. Yeah. So
nice.
I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you said he spends like almost all his money at Cosmic Connections.
All these spiritual implements we saw up in his room,
Came
from Cosmic Connections.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is interesting. Like, as a family that holds faith, strongly, you seem really open-minded to the sort of like New Agey stuff as well.
I mean, I think what I want for him and what I want for all my children is the freedom to explore and to figure it out for themselves. Always be available and, mirror back to them their questions and kind of help them dig in. Mm-hmm. But I think the worst thing we can do is cut the... Obviously, you have boundaries. We could do another podcast on parenting. But spiritual guiding your kids. But I think mainly just set up some, obviously some parameters that keep them safe. But also things like this, like, I don't know. See what it does for you. Yeah, check it out. Buy the crystals. Buy the Om tapestry.
Yes.
See, he meditates in the backyard frequently, and we're down.
That's
we're
so
down.
Reasonable.
We hold it all pretty loosely.
That's wonderful.
That's great. And in the end, he's burning incense. I think people start to attach a lot of extra meaning to those things that maybe we don't need to.
Right. And, walking into a shop like this, and you can imagine how this shop smells, many different flavors of incense. And I remember when I was young, whenever I would get near a place like that, and I was raised, very evangelical Christian, like this just seemed forbidden to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
talked about that.
Dark and dangerous.
It was very dangerous.
Like a scary place. And so now there's kind of that fun for me walking into a place like this. Like, oh, you know, like that.
Like defiance almost.
I still have that trigger in the back of my mind, but now it's not a big deal. But it's kind of fun that, you know, it's not a big deal. And it used to be. It's kind of like one of my friends was saying, like, well, it's no fun now that we as gay people get to get married because it used to feel forbidden. That was kind of fun.
What a weird downside. Okay.
So, yeah, we walked around. We saw all the crystals.
Oh, I got to grab this.
And the Tibetan singing bowls. And
this book, White Anglo-Saxon Male on a Date by Scott W. Webb, who lives in your town and does colonic irrigation here.
Yeah, and there's a photo of a man in silhouette on a beach doing a very extreme yoga pose his fingers gripped onto his toes and the sun in the negative space between his arm. And yeah, it's amazing. And so, of course, Carrie and I were immediately drawn to this book.
Yeah, and we're like, how much is it?
This is the dangerous thing about being around Carrie, because you will come away with books that later on you're like, why did I buy this?
Someone convinced me to. Who was it?
So I've read it now.
So we did buy it.
It's wild.
We almost bought two copies.
I honored that. That was initially.
But then I realized it was a better idea to give Carrie half the money, borrow it first, and then she could give it to Drew later.
Yeah. So you read it last night. I've got it in my bag. Should I grab it?
Yeah, grab it.
Okay.
Okay. While she's doing that, I'm gonna pull up my Goodreads review. Oh, it's getting likes. Okay. So one fun thing about this book is every page just has a smattering of words in all caps.
All caps, yeah.
No rhyme or reason, just the universe inspired me to capitalize these words.
Yep.
Okay. So as you might guess from the title, White Anglo-Saxon Male on a Date, it's kind of a pickup artistry book. And again, you're wondering, why is it here in this spiritual shop?
And why are they talking about it in the middle of this show? Because it's that good.
You wonder why white Anglo-Saxon male, like, why are we helping them get dates? Yeah, every now and then it kind of flirts with white supremacy, and then it walks away from it before making any strong commitments. So I'm not sure what's going on with Scott
Webb. That's what you want people to do around white supremacy, walk away without making any strong commitments.
A little wink and a nod.
Yeah, find my review on Goodreads. I would read this quote, but it's suitably offensive.
It's so wild. The first chapter is about him meeting a person named Spider in a bar, and he says, oh my God, that's so wild. Your name's Spider? My nickname's Spider. And the guy's like, no, it's not. I don't believe you. And somehow the author finds like limitless insight from this one interaction. He's the only spider.
He goes home and obsesses over this. I didn't live up to the spider challenge and the name. Yeah. It's wild.
You know how self-published books are. We're excited about it.
Why are we talking about this?
Yeah, I don't know. They're not sure either.
Good story. Moving on.
Thanks for the plug, everybody.
Oh, wait. You know what? Before we plug, we just left Amber. We never explained like what happened with her.
Yeah.
That's because...
How is she?
How did she conclude this, Carrie?
You know, we went to a JV club, Janet Varney Show's taping yesterday, and she said she was giving a soft finish to her show because, you know, the lights didn't come down. There was no outro music, so she was just sort of walking off the stage. Okay,
goodbye. You end on a good moment. That's the point at which you leave, but we're still here. Let's keep talking.
So I would say Amber also did a soft finish of her house blessing.
Yeah.
She'd say bye, and then she'd say, oh, you know, let's do some.
And for us fantasy folks, it's like the ending of Return of the King.
The worst.
A lot of false endings.
It keeps ending. Yeah, you're like, oh, we wrapped up that story.
Could have
like,
had the sacking of the
Fade
Shire.
Fade to black.
No.
Oh, no, we're fading back out of black. Okay, there's...
Yeah, I found myself saying a lot to Amber. Well, thank you, Amber, in that voice that's supposed to indicate, and now you go.
Oh, you're bringing out the cards. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So this is why Carrie kind of theorized that this maybe was her first
I really think this was her first house blessing, which, bless her heart.
And the house.
And her house.
I think we were awesome hosts too. I think that was part of it. She was just like, you know, this is lovely. I just want to be here.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what I told myself.
I didn't mean to take that from you.
No, that's all right.
We kept trying to prompt her like, oh, so did you notice any negative energy? And you'd even identified a point at the house earlier where you said, you know, if shit ever went down, it went down here.
It went over there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
She didn't identify any spots or any negative resonances. It was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I was hoping she'd be like, did something die?
Right. So
What you want, right?
I did ask her. We're ringing the cowbell. I did. Whoa, the cowbell completely tore me off track.
That's because I hypnotized Carrie before the show and said, when you hear the cowbell, you will forget this entire investigation.
I did ask her how many houses she had blessed. And she said, a few. And then and she said there was one in particular that I didn't get to bless because there was so much bad stuff going on there.
Oh, it intimidated her.
Yeah, she thought it needed an exorcism. And then she added, which I can do too, but I don't like to.
I was so tempted to offer my exorcism skills, but that's another story.
Yeah, she preferred not to.
Yeah, it was a very Bartleby response.
Well, that was our adventure with Amber. So now we have a slide here for those in the audience of the Handsomizer.
Yes.
This is Stephen's current, one of his many endeavors. But if you are in the Nashville area and want to become anywhere near as handsome as Stephen, this is a wonderful barbershop that you can go to.
It's true.
And get your haircut by Stephen Mason. Yep. Now, Stephen, did you tell me that it was also connected to the Jars of Clay recording studio?
Oh, yeah. So you'll hear a lot of music every now and again.
Oh, my. So this is how you sneak into the Jars
of Clay. Oh, yeah. That's how you get
into the band.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All those old T-shirts that didn't sell. You know,
what?
They're in a bin.
Can we go?
Oh, yeah.
What about the red one that has the sort of jellyfish-like design on it?
Oh, man.
Do you have some more of those?
I have one. I'll just give more away.
It's okay. It's fine. Yeah, so go there.
Yes.
Especially if you need a haircut.
Come say hi. Handsome
but also if you want to be a weirdo.
Or even if you live in the next state,
I've had some like youth pastors and people come by and they're like, we wanted a haircut, but we were curious to know about the music.
Oh, that's really sweet. That's very sweet. That's great. Very sweet.
You sit down, buy a haircut, then I tell you about the music.
Yeah. Yeah. All right,
looky
kid.
Lou.
Well, before we go, I think we have a few minutes for Q&A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any cues that we can A?
Does anyone have any cues we can A? There's a... Come up to the microphone, would you? So we can hear you.
Stepping on up to the microphone. I can sing Newsboys as well.
Oh, is that Newsboys? Okay.
Wow. You had alluded to the daughter's special abilities, and I think that was left on a cliffhanger.
Thank you.
Yes.
This is why it's good to have a live audience. They can tell you all the stuff you kept saying. You we'll tell
She's
you about
here,
that later.
She's smiling because she knows she has special abilities.
Yes. So, Amber said that she could sense in your daughter Millie's room that she has special abilities, and you're going to have to watch out for those.
Well, it's interesting because she has a massive Ravenclaw logo
because
she is a Ravenclaw.
All right.
So I think
she
might have been riffing. On She might be a Potter nerd like us and was like, this one's probably intelligent. And
that much is evident.
This is an important moment for the audience, I think. Carrie took the Pottermore quiz finally because we wanted to settle this. You can hear.
Why did that get that response?
A gasp from the audience. Tell them, Carrie, what house are you?
A Ravenclaw.
Yeah!
Oh, my God. What? Are we all that into Harry Potter? Is my whole culture into it? Okay.
Yep.
Very cool.
You can actually read it now?
Well, I read 100 pages of it.
Oh.
And you know what? Oh. I'm not a child and it was boring.
I can see getting stuck in the Council of Elrond in Lord of the Rings, but...
Forgivable.
100 pages of Harry Potter. What's wrong with you?
Elrond? There's an Elrond? Elrond Hubbard?
Elrond Hubbard.
Elrond Hubbard. Okay. The Council of Elrond Hubbard. It's when they decide who's going to go get the ring.
Elrond
Hubbard
of Lothlorien. Yes, correct.
Yes. Gimli's there. They sing songs.
Yeah, Legolas. Yeah.
I feel like I should love Harry Potter. I don't know. It feels very Disney-y.
Yes.
But I don't know. It just didn't grab me.
Okay.
Oh, my.
But I shouldn't be digging on children's lit while I have a Disney podcast.
Well, we support you in your Ravenclaw patronage also your psychic abilities, your inchoate psychic abilities.
So if you need any readings, she's in the front row.
We're going to take her to Vegas right after this show.
Any other questions?
I have something more of a general question about you guys and what you do.
So a lot of your investigations you do together, but some of them, like the numerology one that I was just listening to, you did separately. And sometimes it seems like that's just from a purely logistical point of view. But are there times when you feel like there is an advantage to you to going separately and having different experiences to then come back on the podcast and kind of figure out, you know, the whole yeah. from those two experiences?
That's a good question. One thing I notice is that when we're at, say, a conference and they ask us to turn to someone else and like compare notes or, you know, do an exercise, I think that's when I find like, oh, well, I feel like I should be picking someone else with whom I do not have this long common understanding and we know each other so well. And that's where I'll feel like, okay, I really need to connect with somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, there are some, like you say, logistical reasons that we have to do it that way. Like numerology is not going to read us both at the same time. It's just not how the engagement works. But when we do it together, I think the benefit is that we'll catch little details that the other person didn't. Mm-hmm. We'll fill in those gaps. And it makes the show shorter, right? Because you're not getting two long impressions, which is good. But I would say the downside is that you're experiencing that both in the moment together, and you might have effects on the other person's taking in of that event that you don't even know you have. So I could imagine like us going to the same thing, not sitting next to each other and one of us finding it boring and the other finding it exciting. That's less likely if you're sitting next to each other and kind of reading each other in the moment.
And I like that we can catch sometimes. I like those moments where Carrie points out something I completely miss because I was focusing on the wall or the tapestries or something. So I like that our different areas of attention can complement each other. So yeah, we're usually bummed when we are forcibly separated. But, you know, there's maybe advantages to that as well. We get treated differently, maybe alone, than we do together. So, yeah, there's kind of pros and cons. But really, we learned this time that we've been missing Stephen on all of our other investigations.
It was a joy. Goodness.
You had a couple questions you wanted to ask Stephen, I'm just now remembering, if you want to.
Well, I've been asking him questions all weekend. Oh,
okay.
That's why we were not trailing behind you. Yeah.
Oh,
fair enough.
Who was that singing in the background? Oh, it was Dan. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
But, okay, one more? One more question?
Oh, yeah, question. Okay. Yeah, bring it up.
Huh? Or two more. I just have one more.
All right.
Did Amber have any other services offered on her website, or was this like blessings and that's
it? Yes, lots of them.
Oh, yes.
And lots of options for those services. I felt like there was an Excel sheet where you could, when you went through, you could take the hour long or the 2 hour long this or there.
Yeah, there was like a
life
phone
coaching
reading.
Yeah.
If you had a half hour reading over the phone, I think it was $25, and an hour long was like $45. Like you get a slight discount.
And then there was tarot, Reiki.
Yeah, she's a Reiki master.
Reiki. Hand fastings and weddings.
Mm-hmm. The aforementioned healing of children.
Yes. Oh, and yeah, her life coaching page
was pretty
thorough, like that particular part. So I think maybe that's where she's had the most professional success. Yeah.
We can hook you up later if you need her services. We just figured we should keep her anonymous.
I'll keep that in mind.
Thank you. Yes.
Of all your investigations, which, not so much as your favorite, but which have you loved and hated the most?
Oh, wow.
Like, which single one brought both emotions, or two separate questions?
Pick one that we hated, one that we loved?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's tough. We're looking at each other now.
I mean, I really got a bad stink off Tony Robbins.
Oh, yeah,
didn't
okay.
Didn't enjoy him too much. And then the Ordo Templi Orientis,
yeah.
I felt was just full of, like, I don't know, just kind of all the worst dudes I've met. I don't know, just a lot of guys who were like, I don't know, why is everybody talking about compassion? Wouldn't it be better if we were all selfish? Yeah, high five. I was like, no, in what sense is that better?
Yeah,
none.
I'd say OTO kind of left one of the Ordo Templi Orientis left one of the worst tastes in my mouth. And part of it was me kind of wishing I had done things differently or I could go back and try again. But also it was just, yeah, that same kind of feeling. Also the 9/11 truthers.
Yeah, they came to mind too.
And like the flat earth one, that's one that still kind of follows follows me and takes a lot of emotional, I don't know, endurance. But at the same time, they're just so loopy that it kind of justifies it. It's fun in that respect.
Ross and I have both been accidentally hooked by Facebook groups. For Ross, it's the Flat Earther Facebook group. And for me, it's the Teal Swan Facebook group. We'll see each other comment on it and be like, oh, Ross, you got into it again. And then 2 minutes later, I get into some thing with
a my new favorite Facebook group is one I found where you can only say yikes. And so people post things and you're only allowed to respond with yikes. Oh, you're nodding. You've seen this? It's a pretty robust group, so we recommend that.
Okay, but and the one you loved. Yes, the investigation you loved.
I don't know if this is the right answer, but the one that pops into mind is speed reading, because I feel it actually improved my life. Like, it made me a happier person because I read more, not faster, but I read more.
And then, yeah, the most like useful to me, I think, was laughter yoga. I think laughter yoga is so fun and everyone should do it, even though it sounds really nutty. And it is really nutty, but it's great. And I also really liked holotropic breathing. But the one that always comes to mind is the Mormons.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like the nicest people. They handled realizing that we were podcasters in such a graceful way and told us we could always come back. And I always just think like that is a really good example of just how to behave, like not just in this scenario, just like that's how to treat people, even the people you might have thought of as your critics, still to just, you know, reach out to them in love and treat them the way you'd hope they treat you.
To put that up against the response you got at the climax of the Scientology episodes, where clearly, I always keep in mind that when people are holding things tightly, they have something to protect, and there's something they're scared about you knowing. And it's interesting that the Mormons were like, nah.
Yeah.
And the Scientologists were like, out.
Yeah.
Get out.
You're right. That says a lot.
That's telling.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you all for coming here. Thank you so much to PodX for having us here.
Thank you to Stephen Mason, but also to Scott W. Webb, writer of White Anglo-Saxon Male on a Date.
Stephen's doing the yoga pose. And remember, still got the cowbell.
In the words of the late poet Mary Oliver,
truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. How grass can be nourishing in the mouths of the lambs. How rivers and stones are forever in allegiance with gravity. While we ourselves dream of rising. How two hands touch and the bonds will never be broken. How people come from delight or the scars of damage to the comfort of a poem. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have the answers. Let me keep company always with those who say, look, and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Internet. I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
And together we present Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions.
We explain the historical significance of everyday etiquette topics, then answer your questions relating to modern life.
So join us weekly on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
No RSVP required.
Check out Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.